Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. I'm Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Mississippi. Coach Kellen Moore as well. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, clearly not where you want to be. Certainly a step in the right direction with the loss in Buffalo. It's got to be frustrating because, I don't know, if you think about just the missed opportunities, you start four drives on the road in Buffalo territory, but out of it, you only get two field goals. And you know in a game like that, you're only going to get so many chances, and you just, man, you got to make the most of it.
Yeah, no question. I thought, there was progress made, but ultimately the main goal was not achieved. And so we're close to making progress, but ultimately we're not there yet. And so we had our opportunities in that game. That was the beauty of it. We were right there. We were competing with one of the best in the league, and we just weren't able to finish it and get it done.
Now, Coach Moore, talking about progress being made, I was really encouraged by this because, to me, this is winning football. After averaging, 10.3 penalties a game through the first three games, we only had four penalties against the Bills, but what I was optimistic about, and I know that roughing the kicking penalty, you definitely don't want that, but only one out of the four flags was on the offense. So you had to be encouraged by that, the discipline the team showed there. And then the other thing where we have to get a comment on that, and then, damn, can we please be on the plus side one game for the turnover margin? You know, I would love plus two, but I'd take plus one. It's all said and done. I don't know if I've ever witnessed like four straight games like we even. We're not negative and we're not positive. It's just that, man, because I know how close it is. So those are the things. I'm glad how we addressed the penalty thing, but, damn, we need to win that turnover margin. We finally got an interception, but somehow we need to win that battle.
Yep, I think you're right there, Bobby. I think, the penalties, certainly I felt like we took a step in the right direction. The one offensive penalty, I felt like we could have addressed and had a better, just been on the same page in a better situation, and we don't create that situation. And then we had the three on special teams, and so I thought our guys responded. I think the beauty of it is when you ask guys to focus in and correct something, our guys were accountable to that, and so I thought there was some progress made there, and so a lot of progress there. The turnovers, we're close, and again, that's frustrating when you keep having to say the same thing that you're close. Because ultimately, we need to find a way to steal some more of those. And we had some opportunities, and we just ran able to capitalize them. I thought Jonas's play was incredible. His ability to play that ball in the as a post safety and run over the top and make a play and make that interception, it was just an incredible play. And I'm really fired up for that kid.
And Coach Moore, speaking of that play, I was kind of frustrated because look at Sanker. So, boy, leading the defense back-to-back plays, he had an unbelievable pass defended. Then he gets the interception, and now all of a sudden I go, boy, this is trending good. I was all fired up. The Bills have their first turnover of the season. We get our first pick. But all of a sudden we're in plus territory with the Bills, but we go three and out after a turnover. And it was 3rd and 8, rattled to Chris Olave, drops the pass. Come on, we're counting on you, Chris. You can't be a drive killer. You know, when you look at, where are we at? And you look at the score, that's an opportunity. I don't know whether you make it 14-10 or maybe 14-14. You got to come up with those plays because that's a momentum. That's a momentum killer. That there you had a great play, you're in great field position, and then you don't take advantage of it.
Yeah, it just comes down to complementary football. Our defense makes a great play. We have a great opportunity to capitalize on it. And, we just missed our opportunity, and that's a frustrating miss for us just because so much good was going on at that point. We had a chance to really swing that game.
Coach, you talked about being able to put the emphasis on the penalties, and you can do that during the week. You brought in the referees. You started tracking them. I don't want to make an assumption, but I don't know how you would assess your team's tackling yesterday. It feels like the defense is flying at tacklers, and it feels like they're pounding at the ball, but still, you know, kind of significant chunks of yardage now. Also, my question is, that seems harder to try and fix in this day and time during practices during the week, now that we're at week five. You can't, you know, that seems harder to fix in practice.
Yeah, well, I think there's certainly the fundamentals and techniques that you can emphasize each and every day and get better there. So I think there is growth opportunities for us. It's still week five of an NFL season. We got some great practice opportunities to get better there. I believe, you know, our tally had, we had 13 missed tackles. They had 11. And so we had a couple more than them, and their back was able to make some longer yardage gains because of it. And so, really the one that sticks out obviously is the big long run, the 43 yarder when, Shakur catches the ball out in the flat, and we got multiple missed tackles there, and he creates a touchdown out of a play that, should have been knocked down for a couple-yard gain. So, we got some opportunities there that we need to improve on.
Now, Coach Moore, you know what I was pleased with, because he has that ability, Spencer Rattler making plays with his feet, a career-high 49 yards. I mean, people would not guess this, that Spencer Rattler had a better average per attempt and lesser attempts but more yards than the great MVP, Josh Allen. Look, Josh Allen, 7 rushes, 45 yards, 6.4 average. Spencer Rattler, 6 attempts, 49 yards, 8.2 average. So I know you probably encouraged Spencer. I like what you did on that play, that more of Spencer is good when he's making plays with his feet. Now, ultimately, you want to get the ball in your playmaker's hands, but I was encouraged by Spencer Rattler with his ability running the football.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think, with where our offense is going, I think you can start with, thought the run game made some really good progress. I thought it was awesome by our guys, ran the football well. You're creating play action opportunities. And I think one goal of ours is to get downfield and create more explosive downfield throws, because we know the talent that our perimeter guys have in that game. We tried that. Spencer ultimately scrambled in a couple of those opportunities. I thought they were really good decisions by him. The defense is getting a ton of depth. He's able to escape the pocket and make some really big gains. And so, I thought there were some really good opportunities that Spence was able to take advantage of there.
Now, Coach Moore, looking at, and you're talking about the running game, that's where I was going to go. I didn't realize, but we were like number 2 in the league going into Buffalo as far as shotgun heavy. You know, I think Washington, the Commanders, might be number 1, and we were number 2 as far as running plays out of the shotgun. Is that more a game plan thing where that you're under the center or you're recognized, we should be able to run the ball against the Bills? That was one of the weaknesses that they had, and we were able to do that. I mean, we were able to gash him. I mean, you look at the average per attempt. That's not by accident that when you look at it, we average 5.6. That's unbelievable, 189 yards. But just talk to the fans a little bit about when you have, because I just think, maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong, I just think on the center at times that defenders usually honor the play action more when you're under center, and especially if you can run and help in the passing game, and just got more angles where, because I ran the run and shoot. You're in running plays out of the shotgun and all that, and you look at the RPOs. But what is your thinking that if we can run against a team that we might be more on the center than in the shotgun simply because it gives us a better advantage?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to that. I think, we did see a couple things on film, and that's natural, right? Every opponent's going to be a little bit different. I thought in reflection, I felt like playing at Seattle, playing in the crowd noise that you do when you play on the road, I felt like we were on the silent count every snap. And so when you're under center, you do have the ability to still use your cadence. And so, while it's still loud and still challenging, we all know that on the road, using that cadence can have some value. And I felt like, for me, I need to create more opportunities where we can get under center. I think there's definitely some advantages, some positive things to it from a run game play action perspective. I thought our guys responded really well. I thought our guys ran really well. I thought there was definitely some stuff that we can build on there.
Need to take a quick break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. I'm Mike Koss along with Bobby Hebert. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show, the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. It'll be the New York Giants coming to town, the team the Saints last beat week 14, and then the New England Patriots, but that game has been switched from 3 o'clock to noon, so back-to-back noon games for the Saints. And then you kind of saw a coach on the penalty situation on the other foot, and you can see a difference. Buffalo had 11 penalties, and in the second quarter, after they punted, they called a penalty on the Saints, number 69. Well, we're like, Deuce and I are like, we ain't got a 69, right? And so, but your offense was at the line, almost like kind of getting ready to snap it, but I could see you getting Lan Clark's attention that it was really on Reed Ferguson on their team. But, I mean, they almost would have let that go, it felt like, had you not made it more of an issue.
Yeah, sometimes things happen that way. I felt like there was just a little bit of miscommunication. The officials handled it the right way. They got everything sorted out. I think they knew it wasn't quite what was supposed to happen, and so they worked through that. I appreciate those guys at least communicating and getting it right and taking the time to do that.
Now, Coach Moore, you know who that Nate, you know we're proud of? Finally. Now, he's been here longer than you have, but Kendre Miller. Boy, that was an outstanding touchdown run, that 18-yard run. He's breaking tackles. Say, well, that's why we drafted him where we drafted him. That has to help his confidence going forward. He's averaging like 6 yards a carry, 11 attempts. So we all on Kendre Miller's side. We need that 1-2 punch with Alvin Kamara. So I know you had to be pleased with his performance.
Yeah, I think you hit it perfect. It's a 1-2 punch, and when both those guys are rolling, I think we got a great setup there. And I was really happy for Kendra. I was fired up for him. You know, he's done so much good stuff through this whole entire offseason program. Early in this year, I felt like it was finally a game where we were able to just play with more rush attempts, you know, and I think, you know, we've talked about that the last few weeks of like, how can we keep getting more rush opportunities? And we were able to play that game with much more opportunities there. And so both those guys were able to get touches, and I felt like it was a real positive thing for us.
Now, Coach Moore, what about the 2-point play in that decision? You know, people, I don't know, why are we chasing points? It's only the third quarter. I know to make it to a field goal game, 21-18, but you couldn't realistically think the Bills weren't going to score any more points. Now, you might hope that, and you stay within yeah. a field goal, but what was that with that decision then?
Yeah, I felt like, you know, late in the third quarter, it was going to become a possession game, and so we only had so many opportunities left in the game, and so felt like if we can, had a great opportunity there, felt good about it. If we can get to 2 points there, now we're within reach there, and so it was an unfortunate, it didn't work out in our favor, but usually we kind of start with the fourth quarter in mind as far as going for two. Felt like late in the third, just the way that game was going, felt like that was the opportunity to take.
Coach, how close was it? Because if you look at the play, Juwan Johnson, you know, tight end on the far side, he's trying to get the inside shoulder of Greg Russo, but he just because of the way it worked out, he really gets the outside shoulder. And I don't know if Spencer could have, you know, hesitated or done anything differently, but he gets the outside shoulder. He almost pushes Russo into Rattler. That's how close. I mean, it is a game of inches, but that's how close it was to being the 2 points.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, looking on the defensive side of the ball, I guess it'd be more a question for Coach Daly, but you are the head coach. What's up with the rotation with McKinstry? And you look at Quincy Riley and Isaac Yiadom. I mean, okay, who's in the game? It's not like, okay, they, you know, that's our starting corners. Is it just trying to get a feel, maybe, whoever's producing and who has the hot hands going to be playing? Or what's up with that rotation?
Yeah, certainly we have our starting group, and we're trying to give Quincy as many opportunities as we can. I think he's earned those. I think he's been productive the last few weeks, as we've talked about. And so, trying to give him more opportunities as a result of it. He sometimes will rotate in substitution for a couple of those other guys. And so, we had a couple missed ops early in the game and, got Quincy back in the game. And so those are going to happen as we kind of keep those guys going and keep them competing. And, I thought that group battled. We certainly weren't perfect, but I thought they battled. And, Quincy's earned some more opportunities as we go.
Now, Coach Moore, looking at this is awesome considering you're going against last year's MVP, back-to-back sacks by Cam Jordan and Carl Granderson. That'll get you fired up. I think that gets fans fired up as much as the touchdown pass when you're sacking the opposing quarterback. But the question I have, okay, Carl Granderson, 4-3-3-4 now, 3-4 responsibility. I know you're aware of this, and Coach Daly is also. I could see the Giants, they see this on film, and they did this with Kincaid on that 28-yard touchdown, trying to exploit maybe Carl Granderson in coverage. That's that responsibility for him to carry him along the sideline, is that the right play on against the wrong defense? Or because that right there, that's too tough a coverage to think Carl Granderson can cover him that far, I think.
Yeah, that was a tough. They got a great call against a premier look. We have a couple tools in our defense to kind of avoid that one-on-one matchup with Grando that we, would have hoped to have executed and made an adjustment so we could have pushed the coverage back over there and helped him out more. And so hopefully we could have a guy there in the future and we don't create that one-on-one opportunity because that's going to be a tough matchup.
Need to take another break. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Stay right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Now moving on at least to next week in the preparation brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing. First in service. And coach, you said earlier today, Cesar Ruiz has an ankle issue. He probably won't play against the Giants. Just give us the latest on Taysom Hill and Foster Moreau and where they stand as far as coming off the PUP.
Yeah, Taysom and Foster have their first opportunity to practice this week. It's been just an incredible journey for those guys. Obviously, they faced a lot of adversity. Anyone who's gone through a significant knee injury like these guys have had, the journey they've been on through this offseason is really hard and really challenging. And so I'm just happy for those guys to see him with a helmet on Wednesday, participating in practice. Obviously, they got a lot of acclimation period to go through, and so we'll see where they go from here, and we'll see when they have the opportunity to present themselves to get on the field again.
Now, Coach Moore, with the Giants coming to town, what is your take as far as, okay, here you got Russell Wilson, their starter, the veteran quarterback. Okay, we going in a different direction. We're going with Jackson Dart. I mean, I know you're bringing down Giants film, but that's a different type player and the challenges. Just talk about what the challenges that'll bring about. Jackson Dart, it's always nice while you first start and you get a big win. And I can tell you one thing. Now, do they play like that every weekend? And I think on film, or at least on paper, the Giants might have as good a defensive line as anyone in the whole NFL.
Yeah, so I'd start with Jackson Dart. I mean, he played pretty well last week. First start in the NFL, win the game against a really good Chargers football team. I think a lot of us who evaluate Jackson recognize the really talented player he was coming out of Ole Miss. He had a phenomenal career. Their offense is going to evolve with him week in and week out. With him, this will be the second week of him being the starter. And so, their offense is going to evolve. It's not going to be just the same as it started when Russell was starting. What his skill set is a little bit different. And so there's some unknown that's a challenge as you prepare for him. On the other side of the ball, these guys have invested just a tremendous amount of resources in their defensive line. They got some of the best players in our league. It's going to be really, really challenging. Dexter Lawrence is arguably one of the top interior players in this league, and they've got, essentially three of the premier edge rushers in the NFL, two high draft picks recently, and they went and got Brian Burns, you know, a little over a year ago. And so they got a ton of talent up there. It can really be challenging. And obviously if you get in pass rush advantageous situations, it's going to be a hard time against these guys.
Coach Moore, how about, okay, boy, everyone loves him and they loved him at Arizona State. Scatterboo. You got to love that name, Scatterboo. I mean, isn't there like the way the rules, aren't you not supposed to use your crown or your helmet? To me, he's like a battering ram. I mean, what can offensive players do but not defensive players? Because it seems like every highlight or game you see Scatterboo's like trucking somebody and he's putting his helmet down, crown of his helmet.
The helmet thing's a great question for you. I'm not going to comment on that one. I get enough emails about these different things, but he's a really good player. I think everyone who watched him coming out of Arizona State became huge fans of this guy. Just the way he plays the game, the physicality he plays with, the energy he plays with. He's a really good player. And so, you know, for him to be, you know, he's a Saturday draft pick, fourth round draft pick, and to quickly kind of take over this running back role for them shows just the talented player that he is, that he was ready for the opportunity. He's done a really nice job.
Coach, I think Spencer's done a great job. And, you know, this question you got this afternoon, it's not anything new. It's just wondering your thoughts, because it impacts yak yards, it impacts touchdowns. But I don't want to put it on Spencer or the receiver, but feels like he's either a little late or a little behind, or he's trying not to lead the receiver into the safety. So I guess just talk about that situation without, and I'm not trying to put it on anybody, but it does feel like, you know, the ball is behind the receiver on instances.
Yeah, I think, you know, we definitely have some growth opportunities in the pass game. You know, we got a younger quarterback room, you know, led by Spence, that is getting better each week. And so we got to continue to improve, kind of continue to get better. You know, passing game is about timing, anticipation, accuracy, ability to catch the football. It takes the entire group to be on the same page week in and week out, play after play. And so, you know, there's time on task that we just need to keep working, keep getting better. I think we got a really talented group on the edges. I think we got a really talented group in the quarterback room. You know, we just got to keep getting better.
Now, Coach Moore, speaking of that touchdown, Brandon Cooks, usually I take up for the quarterback, but I say, come on, Spencer, you got to throw a better pass. But with that happening, I mean, did you get a better look than us? Because on the field, they call a touchdown. So it wasn't obvious to me for them to overrule that. I don't know, did it hit the ground, or it looks like he had it maybe pinned on his leg and he caught it? I mean, what you observe at all different angles, was it that close, or – because, I mean, I was like, I don't know. I said, that's a touchdown on the field. They can't overrule it.
Yeah, Bobby, I think that's a great question. I think in the game, we did not get great TV angles on the big screen. You know, we've seen the TV broadcast. Obviously, they're going to get far more angles than we get. And so, you know, obviously, you know, they must have felt like it was clear and obvious. And so, if not, traditionally, that play would stand. But, you know, obviously, they're going to have more angles than we have, and so they felt compelled to, you know, turn it over and make it an incomplete. So frustrating, unfortunate one for us, just because it was a chance to take the lead late in the game.
Now, Coach Moore, what about the Philly special? Obviously, you know, it's always hindsight. If it works, oh, what a great call by Coach Moore. Boy, look, we but look at that. You got to execute the play, obviously. If Chris Olave makes a better throw, puts a little more air on a touch, did we trick him enough to make that work, and where Spencer would have had a touchdown catch? Or what's your play when you look at all angles on that particular play? I know the Bills defender made a great play, but if we execute that right, I think we still could have scored on that play.
Yeah, obviously, hey, that's the one that I get to own. I call the plays, and so, you know, there's some that work and some that don't, and unfortunately that one was an opportunity that really missed some chance for points, and they made a big, incredible play. Obviously, it was close. Felt like we had the look, the opportunity where they'd lose Spencer with the action, and, you know, we missed out on an opportunity to steal points right before half. And so frustrating, you know, unfortunate way of ending it. Obviously, you know, it doesn't work out, so it's on me. You know, we got to keep finding opportunities to score touchdowns down there and take advantage of those opportunities. And so, you know, I thought we were close, and we just didn't get it done.
Well, Coach Moore, two big opportunities back at Caesars Superdome, the Giants first and then New England. We appreciate your time. Best of luck. Get those two W's, and things will look a lot differently.
Thanks, guys.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And when we come back, we will talk with Saints wide receiver coach Keith Williams. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Mike Haas, along with Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be talking with Keith Williams, Saints wide receiver coach here in just a second as the Saints get ready for two straight home games. The Giants, who beat the Chargers yesterday, 21-18. And Bobby, people go, oh my gosh, the Chargers, but I would have thought that would have been an easy win.
All banged up.
But yeah, guess what? Yeah. Well, and also, Justin Herbert goes in and gives up two picks.
Yeah.
Right, so they're in that turnover margin. That's the great equalizer.
Well, Hoss, I just want to so I have to not say this in the post game. Everything turnover margin, even for the game, even for the season. We need to be opportunistic. We need to be on that plus side. You know, if we give one up, we got to get two back. You know, and I don't know, Hoss, if I've ever been a part of just watching games. But like four straight games where neither team has won the turnover battle. You know, usually you either minus or positive, but that's been the case.
And now joining us is the Saints wide receiver coach, Keith Williams, his second season here as the Saints wide receiver coach. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? Glad. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Just talk about your receiver room. I mean, Olave, 26 receptions, fifth in the NFL. Shahid, also having, a lot of receptions, just haven't been able to get the deep ball. That's got to be as frustrating for them as it is for us, because after, it's what we've kind of gotten used to, just frustrating that they're not getting the deep opportunities.
Yeah, it's, we've been searching for them. It's just this year, the teams we've played so far, the defenses, they've making a concerted effort to not let us get over the top. And so a lot of ways that they've played on tape prior to us playing them have been different. And so we get to the game and we've got deep shots in the game plan, but unfortunately the defense has other plans. And so they've just done a good job. And like I said, it made it a concerted and intent effort to, not let us get behind them.
Now, Coach Williams, what do you tell the receivers? You break up in position groups. What do you tell them? Now, it's a tough catch. You want the quarterback to obviously be always accurate. Do you tell them, hey, look, it hit your hands, you got to catch it? Do you tell them? Okay. Okay. So it's
always,
not just me. It's not just
time.
Me. Okay, every time. Yeah, because I was saying, even when you're playing pitch and catch with your dad, maybe in the backyard, or he goes, oh, come on, dad, throw a better pass. And he'd be like, come on, it hit your hands, you got to catch it.
So your dad tells you to shut up and catch it.
Yeah, right. So that's really the attitude you give them, the business on the film. Look, I know that's a tough catch, but we got to come down with it.
There's no doubt about it. And most of the time, what happens is they're telling me before the play gets there, I got to catch that. Or when they get to the sideline, CO knows he doesn't think he shouldn't have caught that choice route. He knows he should have caught that. He didn't execute it. He didn't come down with it, but his expectation is to catch that ball. He didn't make any excuses.
Now, Coach Williams, what about, okay, we drafted for him. Where is he at with the playbook? Big receiver, 6'5", 210 pounds. in the first couple of weeks when he played like 41 offensive snaps against the Cardinals. He caught a 3-yard touchdown against the Niners. Bailey, where is he at? Are we going to see more of him? Or what is his role? Now, you look at Denver, I think Sean Payton utilized him in the red zone and all that. But what's up with Bailey and his opportunities going forward?
Well, he was a little banged up last week, and so his participation in the game was more a reflection of him being a little banged up health-wise. And so he'll provided that he stays on course and on track in terms of his health that he's on now, you know, he'll most likely be more involved this week.
Now, you know, Coach Williams, when you look at like chunk plays, splash plays, however you describe it, what do you look at, like when the meeting rooms, when you're looking at, like, what should a receiver, because Rashid Shaheed's been always amongst the best in the league, and going into this game, he was averaging like 9.1 yards. Olave was at 7.2. When you look at career, like 5 yards below their career yards per catch averages, how do y'all judge that and work with that? I know it's the quarterback and receiver, but when you look at yards per catch, and then you also look at yak, to me, this is interesting, and I want you to comment on it. You know, you look at 11% of Rattlers' passes thrown this season traveled 20 or more yards, 11%. Do you know this is going into the game? Through 3 weeks, that was higher than deep ball throwers. Matthew Stafford was at 9.5, Josh Allen 8.1, Justin Herbert 7.4, I should say. But is it just that other teams are getting more yards after the catch? Or what is the deal with that? Because, you know, when you look at that and go, oh, well, we need more chunk plays, whatever. But I think we have not taken advantage enough the yards after the catch, that yak yardage.
Well, yak yardage is very important to me as a wideout coach, and these guys know that. We practice in that way. And again, it's got to come down to the games. It's got to happen in the games. They got to make it happen after the catch. They know that. So, you know, the plan going in, the intent, the approach is definitely to get the ball in advance as far as you can after the catch, make the first man miss it and see what happens. So that's what they've been trying to do. That's the way we practice. And, you know, we definitely can improve in that area. And that's always the goal regardless. And so, you know, you're right about that. That's not any secret or you know, anything that's not being talked about or anything that they don't want to do. It's just we got to continue to execute, continue to press and chase those yards after the catch.
Talking with Saints wide receiver coach Keith Williams, and coach, I know it's a team thing, but I'm curious just from your wide receiver coach standpoint, the difference of a defense and how it will set up or kind of schematically when you've got a Foster Moreau and a Taysom Hill out there. Now, again, it's just Monday. See what happens. But when you get those two guys back, how much better does it make your wide receiver core?
Well, it makes them a lot better just because of the two names you named are established great players in this league, and they roam the part of the field for the most part frequently. That makes defenses have to decide, you know, where they're going to focus. And, you know, it's the old high-low game that's been played in football since the beginning of time. And so when you have basically multiple threats out on the field and different areas of the field, you know, it does pose a threat, and it poses a problem for the defense. And obviously the wideouts can take advantage of that, you know, if the defense decides to focus on Foster or Taysom, for example.
Now, Coach Waves, what about, I mean, I know you're watching the film and you're talking to Olave about this. On the Philly special, I mean, what is your viewpoint? He just has to make a better pass, maybe put a little more air on it so they can't come up with a great interception? Because yeah. I know y'all probably practiced that a number of times, and, you know, it works a number of times in practice. But what's your take on that play? And do you think if it worked, if Olave makes a – now, he's not a quarterback, but to make a touchdown-type pass?
Yeah, he put a little bit too much touch on it. But he didn't see that safety. That kid made a great play. You know, we didn't anticipate him coming out of the middle of the field that way. He got a good look at the play from his vantage point from the start of the play and triggered and made a great play on the ball. CO was more or less just because you know this as well as I do, with those kind of plays, the type of throw you throw to quarterback, you just want him to be able to manage it. You know, you don't want to throw him a bullet or something where he has to adjust, too much because, the quarterback's obviously not a wideout. So I think CO probably put a little bit more touch on it than he would like. And again, ultimately, the safety made a great play on that thing.
Well, Coach Williams, what about this? I mean, to me, I know you probably made Olave aware of this. This is the second quarter. The score is 14-7. Sanker just comes up with a great interception. Our first pick of the season. All of a sudden, we're in plus territory after the turnover. We cannot afford to go 3-and-out. A third down and 8 yards. Ready to get a field goal or touchdown. A rattler to Chris Olave. He drops the pass. Is that just lack of concentration? Because it wasn't a difficult catch. I mean, how do you, when y'all watching the film, you just tell them you got to be more focused, concentrate more. You need to get more in the jugs machine. What happened on that play? Because we can't have that. Because that's a momentum killer right there.
No, without a doubt. I mean, again, it was, like you said, it was lack of focus at the wrong time. He knows that. He's definitely talented enough to make that catch. And so you recognize, you figure out why every drop has its own story. You figure out what the story is behind that. You improve on it this week and try not to have that happen to you again.
Well, this week will be the New York Giants, and then it's the New England Patriots. Coach Keith Williams, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. Have a great week and get that W on Sunday.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
We will say goodbye to Bobby as well. Bobby, thank you very much, my friend. Always appreciate it.
All right, Hoss. All right. Let's get a win. Let's get a win. I mean, I'm not even worried about the Patriots. How about we beat the Giants, huh? Come on. We need a win.
Let's play the Giants first. We'll play the Giants first.
Yeah. We need a win. Just help out Spencer. We need to make some T-shirts. Help Spencer get a win. Help Rattler get a win.
I'm with you.
Come on.
I'm with you. Thank you, Bobby. Take a break.
Right.
This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Dettillier about the NFC South, Monday Night Football, and the New York Giants coming to town here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, and now joined by Mike Dettillier, back to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And we got a couple of Monday night games. It's the Jets at Miami, 0-3, 0-3. They're already at it. And then later, Cincinnati at Denver. But I kind of want to, unless you want to talk about them, we can talk about them, but I kind of want to push forward to the Giants game. And I guess, first off, man, it's just tough. Malik Nabers, Lafayette kid, LSU, ACL, injury, and not going to be here Sunday again. Beyond football, he's a local, state kid. That's just tough to see.
Yeah, I've known him since he was a 10th grader. He came to one of our camps, and he was clearly, Mike, the best receiver we had there. I mean, just his speed, his acceleration, his ability to go up in the air and make a catch between arms and hands. And it didn't matter if it was a pass over the middle. He was tough as hell, and he could fly. I mean, it didn't surprise me one bit. Here's the crazy story with Malik. LSU did not offer him until the final 72 hours of recruiting. LSU had a commitment from a guy in Texas that they really liked. He pulls away and decides he's going to stay in state. So Coach O and the group get together. Hey, we are going to change Malik Nabers' mind. He was headed to Mississippi State. And in that 48-hour period, they changed his mind. He ends up at LSU and teams up with Brian Thomas. What a great combination that was with Jaden Daniels. And, man, I feel bad for him because I know one thing, man. He's a hardworking guy. He's super competitive. He's an alpha male. I mean, hey, just get it to me. I'm going to get it done. That's just the way he is. You hate to see that happen. But in that game yesterday, Mike, I saw something I've never seen from a Jim Harbaugh coach team. the Chargers threw the football 41 times. You know how many times they ran it? 13.
I know, and it's a Giant defense that's given up 153 yards on the ground a game.
I don't get it. Okay, because you caught a play right into their hands of getting after Herbert. Because, I mean, listen, the one thing with their front defensive line, man, people like Dexter Lawrence, he can make a pretty good argument. He's one of the top two interior players in the game, the way he plays inside. Brian Burns, we've seen way too much of him when he was at Carolina. And then they couldn't come up with a financial deal. They deal him off. Look at that final play, his closing speed on Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's still stiff in the pocket. Man, he run him down, I mean, bang, and ran over him. They drafted Abdul Carter with the early first-round pick in this year's draft. They got Kayvon Thibodeau, another early first-round pick guy coming off the edge. Mike, they got people that can rush the quarterback. They really do. Now, I agree with you. I don't get it. Were they trying to trick somebody? But this is so odd for a Jim Harbaugh coach team. Run the football 13 times? That's shocking to me that's it. And you threw it 41. You didn't even have to tell me how the game went. If you'd have showed me that, I knew one way or another the Giants were going to win.
And so the schedule makers did the Giants no favors. They're 1-3, but let's dive deeper. They had to play at Washington when they had Jaden Daniels, and they played at Dallas, which I'll get back to in just a second. Then they're home against Kansas City in the Super Bowl last year, home against the Chargers. Then they come to the Saints, and then it's the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. So they've had their schedule has been kind of difficult out of the gate. Now, I mentioned Dallas. They lost to Dallas 37-40 in overtime. Dallas had to kick a 64-yarder to get into overtime and then a last-second field goal to win in overtime. And had Aubrey missed the overtime field goal, Dallas's record would be 0-2-2. They would have tied 37-37 and 40-40. That's insanity.
And again, we know Brian Daboll's in a lot of trouble in New York. They want him to win, and it's none of this, well, we'll give you another chance. This is his other chance, so to speak. Now, Jackson Dart, in watching a little bit of that game yesterday, he played solid. He's a tough guy, very athletic. Mike, and going back into my scouting report on Jackson, one of the things he likes to do is run the ball right up the middle. They spread you out. That's what Ole Miss used to do. Spread you out, and then he would fake a throw, run right up the chute. Now, yesterday, he ran 10 times. 9 of the 10, guess where they were? Right up the middle. So he followed suit exactly what he did at Ole Miss. He did with the Giants. And, you know, the running back now is the rookie, Cam Scatterboo. We all saw him late last year with Arizona State. He put that team on his back and said, hey, you need something? I got it. He's like a throwback guy. The one everybody says, who do you compare him to? In modern day, I can't compare him. You know, as a kid, I watched him. Tom Matty with the old Baltimore Colts. That's who he reminds me of. A tough, tough guy. North-South, not going to give you a lot of wiggle, can catch the ball pretty well coming out the backfield. But, man, losing Malik, that is a huge chunk out of their offense. Puts a lot more pressure on Jackson Dart and an offensive line. Thomas is a really good player at left tackle, really good, and I like their center. But the other three spots, man, they got people running in there after Dart. Thank God he's mobile because he's going to need it throughout the year.
Well, the thing about Dart, too, is he had a 39-yarder right up the middle called back for holding. Or his offensive stats look incredibly different from a running standpoint. So, well, you're right.
But but when you watch it, and you're going to see it this Sunday, a lot of things are designated runs. And Coach Kiffin did that with Ole Miss. Designated runs. But it's not to the edge. It's right up the middle. Now, Josh Allen had that trend too, but he broke it on that one out-of-containment run yesterday to the edge. Everything else with Josh is sort of right down Broadway.
So NFC South, Tampa loses. They fall to 3-1. They got to go to at Seattle, San Francisco at home, then at Detroit. And here's what I don't like. Atlanta has the bye week, week 5, right? The Saints are week 11. Tampa's week 9. Carolina's week 14. I don't like bye weeks separated by everybody. There should be no advantage to your bye week. They should all follow around the same time in the NFC South. That bothers me a little bit. But Tampa's got some tough games coming.
They do, but, man, they get Tristan Wirfs back, and they get Chris Godwin back. And I think in 2 weeks they get Mike Evans back. Man, they fought through a lot of injuries, Mike, and still won it. And yesterday had a chance to do it again.
Oh, when it was 31-23, I'm going, oh, this is here we go.
Until Baker got run over on that last play. I mean, not run through. He got run over on that last play.
We shall see. Very, very important two games for the Saints here. 0-4, but Tampa's 3-1, Atlanta's 2-2, Carolina 1-3 in the NFC South. As always, my friend, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Hoss. Appreciate it, bud.
Mike Dettelier and Bobby Hebert from the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. Big two games. Again, the New England game is now going to be noon, not 3 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.